Imagination. On this night, perhaps above all others, it requires a bit of imagination to fully appreciate the contributions of the cast of characters in Christmas. Having traveled the journey through Advent, you and I, we have been introduced to some of these folks. We have John the Baptist, a man who ate insects for breakfast and wore odd clothes. He traveled through the desert proclaiming that repentance is at hand. Our Lord is coming. Today, John the Baptist would be labeled with several psychiatric diagnostic codes and most likely confined to a safe institutional environment for his own protection. And then we have Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, a woman who had hoped for a child and now found herself pregnant at what would be roughly the modern equivalent of 80 years of age. Surprise! Probably doesn't even begin to capture her reaction. And Elizabeth's husband, Zechariah, responds to the news of his being a new dad at a similar age by developing a voice disorder. And these are only the supporting characters in this night. For some real imagination is required when we consider Mary and Joseph. A teenage virgin finds herself expecting a child, and the Son of God, no less, through an overshadowing of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph is a regular working class guy, craftsman by trade, and he's visited in a dreamlike state by an angel who assures him that his betrothed is pregnant, and he basically says, no problem, and follows the angel's command to marry her. And these two principal characters are supported by others, including the shepherds following a star, a group of civil servants who were called the wise men, a dear brother of mine who's Jewish calls them the Weissmans. And there is the imposition of a census designed to kill all babies under the age of two. I mean, all of this, on the surface, sounds like a story from the Book of Crazy. And when we merge the narratives of the Nativity found in the Gospel of Luke and Matthew, it isn't too far-fetched to believe that a corpulent white guy can stuff himself down a chimney with a boatload of presents. And I hasten to add that this is a solid belief and no fat shaming here. I love Santa Claus. My brothers and sisters, on this night, perhaps with all manner of conflicting information, we know that God became man. And it was through this incarnation that the whole world is saved. Each of us. No matter our faults or failings, no matter our state in life, no matter who or how we love, each of us are saved through the grace of the incarnation. And yes, we also reflect upon the role of the Blessed Mother in salvation history on this night. For just as God, through the angel Gabriel, told Mary to not be afraid, he offers the same message to each of us on this night. I read recently where one in four young people consider themselves to be nuns, in other words, no religious affiliation. And at first glance, I must tell you, I thought we're talking about nuns, like N-U-N-S. And I thought, well, I can understand why no one would want to wear a Whipple. And I say this with great respect for my sisters in Christ. Otherwise, I'll hear about it. But I suspect that a part of this seeming rejection of organized religion is found in the difficulty of embracing mystery and in using imagination. So on this night, in particular, we're called to draw closer to our faith through a profound recalling that requires our imagination. For the profound reality which we celebrate is found in the birth of a baby. And never in the entirety of human history was God transformed into a human presence. And with great emotion and sentiment, let us rejoice at the birth of our Savior. And yes, let us recall the many memories of Christmases past. Let us remember the smells of past Christmases, perhaps evergreen sugar cookies. And let us see in our hearts, in our minds, those who have gone before us. And let us sing songs of hope, of joy. You know, not everything of value in this world needs to be counted. But the entry of our Lord into the world is the most important thing. And it exists in our imagination, in our collective memory, this foundational reality of our faith. For the real message of Christmas is this, that God loves us in our concrete reality, in our faults and in our doubts, and is always reaching out to draw us closer to Himself. And in our moments of heartache and grief, God is especially with us. And God remains with us, always reaching out to us with love and mercy and forgiveness. This God has prepared a place for us in His kingdom where the sick will be well, and the hungry will be fed, and the despised will be praised. You see, it only takes an open heart and a bit of imagination to see our Lord on this night. Merry Christmas.